Be in 1 Peter chapter 3, and continuing on Wednesday nights in our studies of some of the highlights, if you will, out of 1 Peter. You remember, Chad talked in 1 Peter chapter 3 in the beginning last week concerning spouses, and really even their idea entering into we have roles and responsibilities as Christians and living up to them. I think that idea continues here in 1 Peter chapter 3 as Peter is exhorting us that we are to live righteously. Now, we're trying to get down to verse 21 and we'll make it there, but live righteously. Back up just skimming this chapter into verse 8 where Chad left off last time, and he's reminding us, all of us, be of one mind, have compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but rather blessing, knowing that you're thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Notice, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and let his lips, that they speak no guile. Rather eschew or turn from evil, do good, seek peace, and sue it. Because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It's an exhortation, turn from the evil and do righteously. Even going back into 1 Peter chapter 1, he had talked about in verse 14 through 16 that glance back to the Old Testament, that we're called to be holy even as God is holy. Well, that exhortation's continuing here. Remember who you are. You're Christians. You're children of God. Live like it. It's the exhortation he keeps giving us here. And you do so even if that means that you suffer. In verse 13 through 17, there's that reminder. Who is he that will harm you if you're followers of what's good? Yeah, it doesn't say that you're not going to be bothered, but where's the eternal harm here? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and do not be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer. Every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, be grounded and settled. There in verse 16, having that good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed. That falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Even if it means suffering, live righteously. Do so in honor. You hold your head high. You're doing that which is right. If that caused suffering, keep doing what's right. You do so evangelistically. Be ready to tell others of the hope that's in you. And you do so uprightly. Don't suffer for wrongdoing or evil doing, but suffer because of righteousness' sake. And in that sense, remember then that you are living righteously even if you suffer because I'm following Christ. And that takes you through the end of the chapter in verse 18 through verse 22. Because Christ also, verse 18, suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Notice, this is our eventual focus, verse 21, the like figure, wherein to even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, who is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. You suffer because we're following after Christ, who first suffered for us, and yet ultimately was exalted, made alive by God, and here serves as a continual example for us. It's interesting in the midst of that, he brings in the great example here of Noah. Noah, one who was a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And he begins to speak of him, really, as you drift into verse 19. And I'm going to tell you, there may be some room that we could have some discussion on exactly what all Peter has in mind or in concept. I will tell you, I'm firm in the idea that there are certain things this can't mean. Jesus didn't go into the grave and preach to lost souls to give them a second hope. That's certainly without of the realm of the context of Scripture. It flies in the face of many other things. But there is the idea here that Christ is preaching even as Noah did to those who are lost. I personally think of the idea of this being a little bit more figurative, of Christ as the Word being preached in the days of Noah. Still hear the second member of the Godhead, the Word of God, that even in that day is being proclaimed. Let me just throw out 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. Holy men of God were speaking as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We think about the prophets in 1 Peter 1, verse 11 and 12, that were that had the Spirit of Christ in them. They were speaking of things that were to come. And in many sense, here was Noah as a preacher of righteousness, sounding forth the exhortation, let us follow God. And those who followed after him were in a place of safety on the ark, and those who didn't would suffer the consequences. And therefore, even in this time in which Peter was writing, are now in prison. We can think of their eternal separation now from God. What's interesting here is he's pointing us back that those that were in reference there in verse 19, they were disobedient. They would not listen to God. Even while his long-suffering was waiting in the days of Noah. And here's Noah preaching all of those years while they're building the ark in preparation. But yet in the end, eight souls were saved by water. Noah, his wife, and his three sons, and their wives would enter onto that ark. And yet the rest of the generation upon the whole face of the earth was going to be wiped away. And there was one difference. Those who listened to God and followed him were obedient unto his word, and those who didn't. And there it speaks in verse 21, speaking of Noah and of that time, the like figure. The idea here, the same likeness, the same antitype type situation, that they were saved by water. And we think there that we have a generation of people that were lost because of water. A generation of people swept away by the water, the floodwaters that would come upon the face of the earth. And yet here, that same water, because Noah and his family were in the place of safety that God prescribed, were lifted up above that world, lifted up above that generation, put in a place of safety, and would come and settle once again to begin repopulating the earth. Galatians 6 and verse 22 tells us the key there. Genesis 6 verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He trusted in God. He followed after God. He was obedient. And Peter is reminding us in that same figure, in that same likeness, so we who follow God are going to be saved by water. It's not a trust in the physical cleansing. It's not that I get in the baptistry and I wash away the dirt off of my flesh, but rather it is a spiritual cleansing. It's not a trust in myself. Look at how good I am because I was baptized for God. It's a humble submission unto the will of God. I'm buried with him by baptism into his death. I rise again to walk in newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. I'm baptized to wash away my sins, calling on the name of the Lord, being obedient unto him, Acts 22 and verse 16. And so what is that figure pointing us to? The submission to God's will that separates us from the sins of the world. It's that that now saves us. It's the same obedience in both testaments. It's the same obedience asked of Noah that's asked of us. But here is how it's going to be shown in our life. If we would be baptized, if we would be faithful unto God. And so here, if I could highlight the point that I believe Peter is trying to make for us, Noah is an example of one who remained faithful. Noah is one who preached righteousness in the face of opposition, in the face of rejection, but he kept the course. He kept on living faithful, and so he had a hope laid up for him in eternity with God, and we can enjoy the same. And Peter speaks of that in verse 22. That here's Jesus gone into heaven, now on the right hand of God, angels, authorities, powers being made subject unto him. That's the joy that we have to look forward to. And so even as you continue into chapter 4, that the one who has suffered for us has now ceased from sin. Verse 2 of chapter 4, no longer live your life of this time of the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. It's the exhortation. You be faithful unto God. As Noah, as his family, and as they enjoyed the promises of God, so can we also in this day. And that's the great exhortation unto us. It comes to us even tonight as we ask and look at ourselves and ask, have I been faithful unto God? Perhaps there's one who wants to know more about, well, what does that mean? Well, let's sit down. This is but a skimming of this section, and we'd love to study more of that section or of the Bible with you to know what is the will of God. Perhaps there's one that knows, I know what I need to do in order to be saved, but I haven't been following God. And like those of the first century, I want to have heard the Word of God, believed it, and I'm ready to put it into action in my life. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sins, as they did starting in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, continuing on so many great examples through that book. Perhaps we look at our life and say, well, I was like Noah, I started, but at some point I turned my back and it's time to come home. It was because Noah was faithful as he continued in the service of God that they would enjoy that place of safety. And we have to ask ourselves, am I still in that place of safety? Am I still in Christ? If not, it's time to come back home. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins as we would repent, confess of those things, turn back unto Him. 1 John 1, verse 7 and verse 9. That's the invitation set before us tonight. If we could help you with it, let it be known as together we stand as we sing.